And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thankful tonight for the privilege to tonight into the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We'll be looking into verses 7 through 13. We'll take a look at the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia. I'll get it right in a minute. The city of Philadelphia means the city of love, and we are persuaded that this must have been a church of love. First of all, love for the Lord, and then love for the saints. Some things said about this church that I think will be of interest to us and a help to us and an encouragement to us. We'll look at the seventh church next week, and we begin to move on then in the rest of the book of Revelation. So done to the angel, or to the angel, this is verse 7 now of chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You'll notice, of course, that not only is this church of love that loves the Lord, but the Lord said he loved them. And he said he would demonstrate the fact that he loved them. So this church was chosen to be one of the seven that would be addressed specifically and directly from the Lord himself through the messengers of the church to the pastors, and of course John being the one responsible to write to them. And so we'll analyze this particular church tonight as we have the others. First of all, we'll notice again the introduction and the particular attributes of the Lord that are presented as he addresses this church. First of all, he points out that it is he that is holy that has this to say unto them. And certainly we can appreciate the holiness of God tonight and appreciate the fact that he is unequivocally holy, unchangeably holy. And certainly that needs to be understood today, that because he is holy, he then is unmoving in his place. Even though he demonstrates and shows mercy, he never compromises himself, never brings himself down from the place that he is. But rather, he is the justifier of those that believe in Jesus, but yet he is the one who also remains just as he does that. So he speaks of himself in his holiness, or as the one who is holy, and then the one who is true. He is truth, as he said to us through John when the gospel was given. But he is true. He's true to whatever he's committed himself to, and he's true to the saints of God. He loves this church in Philadelphia with certainly an everlasting love, and he loves us today. He's true to us. Now, we might not be always true, but he's true to us. He does not leave us nor forsake us. He does not take advantages of us or move away from us or fail us. He's always true to the saints of God. In this particular case, he's addressing the church as the one who is true. And he, of course, then he said he's the one that hath the key of David. which indicates again that he is the rightful one to be recipient of the throne of David, and also has the very credentials to prove that he's fulfilled everything that was said about the Messiah and promised to David. God himself had said to David of old that from the very seed of his loins, God himself would sit upon the throne of David, judging Israel. And so he addresses this church as the one, true one, and has the keys of David. And then he speaks of his ability and his power and his commitment to this particular church. He said, I'm he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Now, if I were to remind you of it, remember that when God dealt with Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the commission was given to Noah to build the ark to preserve a life on the earth, when it came time to go into the ark, the Bible said, come thou, Noah, your wife, your sons and their wives, into the ark. And then the Bible said, God shut to the door. That door stood open as long as God wanted it to stand open. No one else had the authority to close that door. But one day that door was closed and no man could open it. As the floods rose, the perishing multitudes on the earth in the days of Noah, no doubt, clung to that ark. They pulled at the door, but it could not be opened. And I present to you this afternoon, this evening, that there is a door of grace that stands open today. I'm thankful that we still have the opportunity and the privilege to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And there is an open door. There is an opportunity today. No man can shut that door, but one day, as the door of the ark was closed, so shall the door of grace be closed, and no more will men be able to come in faith and repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of the soul. So we see here the introduction he makes. And then he deals with their works. He said, I know thy works. Well, again, this is a very sobering thought, to think of one who knows all about us and he knows their works. But he has no censorship for this particular church with regard to their works. They apparently are acceptable and right in the sight of God. And oh, that we might be found faithful ourselves in that day, and we might hear the words of commendation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So the works are acceptable in the sight of God. And he then said to them, I have set before thee an open door. The door of opportunity for this church in Philadelphia to preach the gospel, to reach out. I'm persuaded today that we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ have an open door. We have the opportunity to be a witness in this area where our church sits. We have an opportunity and a privilege of being a witness not only here, but into San Antonio, into the state, into the nation, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I am persuaded we have an open door before us, and we want to be faithful to that open door. As this church was admonished, you have an open door. I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, of course. He said, thou hast a little strength. In other words, just use the strength that you have, and God will bless and bring to fruition. He said, thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Just be faithful to that, because the door is open. And again, we want to be found faithful with the strength that we have to the precious name that we've been given, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and preach that name. He said, you've kept my word and not denied my name. And all that we might stand true and faithful. No wonder this church does not have any censorship, because they've stayed true to the Lord. And then, of course, God will do for them some things that he said in verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Well, there's a truth here that I think we need to understand, that the Lord will avenge. We want vengeance ourselves most of the time. It seems to be in our nature to want our pound of flesh. We want our vengeance whenever we are wronged. And he speaks of those that certainly would have wronged this church. He said they claim to be Jews, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Apparently this church had suffered much as others, another church had that we've looked at already, from the hands of the Jews. They had raised up and made accusations to the governmental authorities that would bring heavy persecution upon the church. And so he said, I will make them that say they're Jews and are not, but they're really the synagogue of Satan, said they'll ultimately have to bow down and worship at your feet. And certainly, if it does not happen in this life, it will certainly happen in that life. Because I am persuaded at the great white throne, those who have been obstinate and stood with stiff neck here on this earth will bow the knee and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the fact of the matter is that we, the saints of God, will be there at the great white throne. We just have to be on the right side. We will not have to stand on the foreside or the front side of it and face God as a lost sinner, but we'll be privileged to stand as witnesses, standing with our Lord. And God will avenge His own, those that have been wronged. So you can rest assured that any wrong that's done to you in this life, God will avenge. And then He promised to keep them from the hour of temptation. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. If there was a place that I might present to you why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, it's here in this particular church that we're studying tonight. There's no other event that will fit the criteria except the Great Tribulation as the temptation which will come upon all the earth, all the world, try them that dwell upon the earth. Now we'll be studying that in the chapters that follow. Whenever there'll be plague after plague and vial after vial of wrath poured out upon this earth, and there will be great trial. And yet the Lord said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that will try all of those on the earth. If I could give you the events, I am persuaded that there will be an event that we read of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ be raised, the living changed. And then there is, immediately after that event, a scene that comes on this world. There'll be a person that we know as the Antichrist. Now, Antichrist in spirit has been here all along. There have always been those that would oppose the Lord, but this will be personified in one particular man that will receive great power, and ultimately in the 7 years of Daniel's seventh week, in the midst of the week, after he has made an agreement and a covenant with Israel, as a defender of that nation, will ultimately go into the temple of God that will be rebuilt. He'll place himself upon the altar there and say, I'm God. Worship me. And it'll be great trial that will be upon this earth. And it'll not only be Israel, but it will affect Israel drastically, nationally. But it will be a trial because of the plagues and the violence of God's wrath that fall upon this earth, particularly in the last 3.5 years. And the Lord said, I will save you from that hour of temptation. And we believe that there will be the rapture of the saints as we see it in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Then there will be the 7 years of great tribulation. And then there will be, in the end of that particular tribulation, the glorious appearing of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take His rightful place as King of Israel, sitting upon the throne of David and rule and reign in righteousness on this earth for 1,000 years. And then, of course, there is the consummation of all things when Satan's loose for his little season, the deceiving of the nations, and the ultimate destruction and the imprisonment of the wicked from that time forward. But I am persuaded, even as the Lord said, that He would save those from that hour of temptation. Now, let me say, that does not mean that there not be trials, that there not be persecution. It means that we'll be saved from a certain physical demonstration of God's wrath. But there has always been persecution of the Church of the Saints of God since its inception. And it does not guarantee us, just because we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, that we would necessarily be saved from a measure of persecution. But I am persuaded we'll be saved from that particular hour of temptation, or the great tribulation that will try the folks of this world. And so this is what he'll do for them. And then he gives an admonition as he closes out this particular letter. He points out, he said, "I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast." And that's basically a good admonition for all, just to hold fast that which we have, that no man take thy crown. There is a crown of life that can be won. I'm persuaded that crown can also be lost because of our departure from the things of God. So we need to be careful with our lives. There is an accounting on the part of the believer, not that we might stand saved or lost, but that we might receive reward or suffer loss. Paul describes the scene for us in 1 Corinthians, that the works of men shall be tried by fire, and that which abides the fire will, of course, be rewarded. That which is consumed by the fire is loss, and he speaks of some even saved yet as by fire. And so certainly we need to hold fast, because he comes quickly, and he will reward in verse 12. He tells us what he'll do for the saints of God. He says, "That overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Those will be a special recognition to the overcomers. "And he shall not go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." And that, of course, new name will be received by the Lord. It's yet known to him, but there will be this reward. And then just the encouragement or the admonition to hear in verse 13. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And what an admonition. Give an ear to the things of God. A church that is a church of love, first of all, because the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. But I am persuaded this church also demonstrated love for the Lord because of their faithfulness to the things that they had been entrusted with. All right. We'll stop our study there.